So, first of all, got one more question, I guess. How many of y'all enjoyed Pastor Al last Sunday? Man, if you're new or with us, that was I called Pastor Al on Tuesday or Wednesday, I think. I was like, man, that was like old school Pastor Al right there. Letting it rip. It was good stuff. If you missed last Sunday, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that again. Talking about what are we drinking from? We can drink from the fountain of living waters, or we can drink from broken cisterns that hold no water. And a little side note, he had referenced Jeremiah 2 last Sunday, and as I was reading that, as he was preaching on it, I noticed something there, but that's what the Lord says: I have two things against you, that you have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn out for yourself cisterns. Broken cisterns is what Jeremiah says, that hold no water. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me instantly. He said, son, here's what you don't understand. What man builds is broken before you even build it. Can I get an amen? Anybody ever done something and then it blows up and you're like, man, that was dumb? For sure. The Lord says, look, I don't need you building your own stuff. I need you drinking from the streams of living water and building what I want you to build. Amen? So we're going to get this morning, we're going to spend a few weeks in Habakkuk. I read from Habakkuk on Sunday during worship last week, but I just can't get out of it. And the Lord is opening my spirit to really apply it to what's going on today in our culture. And really, church, this is kind of, we're staying under the guise of the evangelism thrust the Lord has given us, the commission for the year, to give me one more, right? And as we go through the next few Sundays, I want to encourage you, church, as I said a moment ago about gas prices and all this stuff that's going on, it's, I'm going to be real, like I don't like it. I don't like pulling up to the gas pump and going like, how much did this just cost me to fill my truck up? Yikes. But anybody cannot like what's going on right now in the culture. Can I get amen, right? What the world needs is not people that are going to get sucked into complaining and whining about it. They need people that are going to rise up and say, look, yeah, I don't particularly like it either, but I'm not being shaken by this, and here's why. Because I know that God is still on his throne, and God is still moving, and God is going to rescue us. Amen. So we're going to go through Habakkuk, and I want to show you some things in here that I think are very practical to help us maintain a proper mindset in this culture. Amen? Amen? See, the reality, I was talking to someone early this morning before church, and the reality of what's going on right now is we can very quickly get discouraged. Anybody fighting discouragement right now? Amen. Just turn on the news for 5 seconds, and you're like, what on earth are these people doing? Right? And what's crazy about it is that they appear to be, so it's funny, Scripture, let me say it this way. Scripture is quite clear that there'll be a time when the enemy will stop hiding what he's doing, and he'll just become very bold and just come right out and just do it, right? And that's what we've got going on right now. Things are not even being hidden anymore. We've got corporations coming out saying, oh, we're just gonna put this stuff in our programming, and we don't really care. We're telling you what we're doing. Right? There are leaders in our country making decisions. They're not even hiding it. They're like, we are trying to ruin this. Yes. You're like, yikes. If they were just dumb, that'd be one thing. Okay, this guy doesn't know what he's doing, but they know exactly what they're doing. Right? And so, church, I'm just being real with you. It's so easy to be like, rah! But every time I feel that in my heart, the Spirit of the Lord says, son, what have I told you? And as I think back over all the years I've been walking with the Lord, the Lord has told me things at times, particularly like things about money and provision. And at the time he told me things, like I wasn't worrying about money and provision. Everything was going great. But it was things he told me, look, here's what's going to happen, and don't worry about it when it does. And if you read through Scripture at all, you know what you see? That's exactly the message you'll see. Here's what's going to happen, and do not worry about it when it happens, because I'm in control. We're going to see that in Habakkuk. Amen? Amen. I want to start with chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 2 is the one that probably some of us know. We're going to go after that one in a week or two. But chapter 2, verse 1, we're going to kind of use this as the focal point of the next few weeks, all right? So here's chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what the Lord will speak to me and how I may reply when I am, what's the word, church? Reproved. You know what that word means? Corrected. Corrected. So what do we do when we look around at the culture, right? We look at whether it's a moral issue that we watched Washington doing things morally that we're just like scratching our heads at it, or economic things, or the chaos in the Middle East, or Middle East out in Russia and Ukraine and all that stuff, and obviously chaos in the Middle East. And then, I mean, let's just might as well not stick our heads in the sand. We had another shooting at another school this week in Texas. And I can't turn stuff on for 5 seconds. We've got these people point their fingers over here, and these people point their fingers over here, and it's just, you're wrong, it's your fault, and you're like, this is so ridiculous. Whose fault is it really? I think it's our fault as a culture. Can I get amen? I think it's our fault as a culture. So what do we do? Chapter 2, verse 1 is a response. This is Habakkuk. At the end of chapter 1, he complains. We're going to look at it in a few minutes. He complains to God. God actually answers him. Then he complains more. That's the end of chapter 1. But then in chapter 2, verse 1, he's like, you know what? I should probably shut up. Anybody ever feel like the Holy Spirit's telling you, are you done yet? You done whining and crying yet? Because I got something to say, but I'm not going to argue with you. Yeah? Habakkuk realizes that complaining and getting upset about all these things that are going on in his time are not going to fix anything. So his decision is, I'll stand on my guard, and station myself on the rampart. I want to try to just really teach this morning. I might preach a little bit, but I want to just do some teaching here. The Hebrew phrase, church, for guard post, right? I'll stand on my guard post, is talking about an assignment. And I want you to think about it like this. It's like, have you ever seen a movie where there's like a group of soldiers and they're all tired, they're going to rest, and they assign one, it's your turn to keep watch, right? And they got to keep watch for X number of hours, and then they get a break, and someone else, they're assigned to watch out for the enemy, right, and keep all these other guys safe. Another way to think about it is like in a prison where you've got guards at a post in the prison, right? In certain guards, there's not one guard called to monitor the entire prison, right? This guard is like, here's your post, right? You need to go stand here, and you're responsible for this particular portion of the prison, right? Make sure that things go well here. You understand, church? Habakkuk is realizing, like, you know what? There's a position that God wants me to have, and I need to get back to the position that God has called me to be in, because if I get out of position, I start looking at things and listening to things that I should not be looking at or listening to. And on vacation, I was reading Psalms every morning, reading through Psalms with some guys. Come to Psalm 38. Psalm 38's a good one. I may pepper it in here in a few weeks, but it's another Psalm of David where he starts off complaining. A lot of David's Psalms are complaining, right? But about his first like 9 or 10 maybe, all of a sudden David says, you know what? He says, because of all this stuff, all these enemies rising up, all this stuff going on, he says, I became like a deaf man and like a mute man who does not speak. And as I was reading that on the porch of our cabin one morning, I read that verse and it was like, pow, it hit me. The Lord said to me, you know what David's saying? I stopped listening to all the noise, and I stopped running my mouth about it. Stop listening, stop talking about it. Can I get amen? Habakkuk then goes on to say, I'll station myself on the rampart. The Hebrew word for station means this: to set, to station oneself, or to take one's stand. Isn't that interesting? Right? So he says, I'm going to stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart. But the word for station, the Hebrew word, actually means to stand. So it's like in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew language, my beloved, there's no punctuation in there. So when you see, if you read through the Hebrew text, you'll see two words right in a row. And that's the way that they would exclamate something, right? Like they're really going to, I'm gonna show you how important this word is, right? And this is what Habakkuk is saying. He's saying, I'm gonna stand and I'm gonna station myself. It's a little bit of a stronger word. But then he says, I'm gonna station myself on the rampart. Everybody say rampart. I'm reading this week and I'm like, what on earth is a rampart? So I looked at some different translations. Some translations would say, King James says tower. Station myself in the tower. New Living Translation says a watchtower. The Message says lookout tower. But then I dug into the Hebrew and I found this interesting. Rampart in the Hebrew word means fortress, stronghold, or an inaccessible place. An inaccessible place. The moment I read that, the Holy Spirit said to me, that's your secret place. It's your secret place. You know what Habakkuk is saying? I need to get back to the place that God wants me to be, which is inaccessible to the enemy. I need to withdraw from all the noise, all the garbage. I need to take a step back and get into that place where the only voice I hear is the voice of God. Why do you think, church, that the enemy is so busy trying to keep us out of our secret place? And I've said this many times, there's some newer people here. Years ago, the Lord spoke to me about, you know, a secret place. We think, oh, I need to have a prayer closet. And some of you do have one in your homes, and man, amen. But, you know, when Jesus is talking about the secret places, he says, when you pray, go into your secret place and close the door, right? And pray to your Father who's in secret. But the Lord spoke to me years ago. He said, son, you don't understand. You're a walking secret place. It's not about, and again, there's times, there's places I like to go and I sit and I relax and I think, man, this is beautiful with nature, you know, cool. But we can get hung up and like, if life gets too busy and we don't get to get to our like little place we like to get to, the Lord's like, look, you don't need to go someplace physically to be at rest in me. You are a walking secret place. Right? The reason Jesus died on the cross, my beloved, was to put the Holy of Holies inside here. Don't you know you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Amen. Why is the enemy just constantly keeping us busy, busy? Come on, church, how many people have ever, oh, I'm so busy, right? Come on, just be real. We're all busy. You know, one person I heard said busy is an acronym, busy, B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke. Yikes. That ain't the Bible, just saying it's a pretty good one. I don't know about you guys, but I've never felt that the Lord is pushing me to do something. He draws me. Satan pushes. Satan's the one who's in a hurry. Oh, you better get this done. Yeah. Better get that done. Get that done. Sounds like bosses, eh? deadline. Come on, church. It's amazing. It's not amazing in a good way, but I talked to many of you, and it's like, you look at corporate America right now. What are they doing? They're cutting staff and increasing workload. Like, I'm not a smart man, but that doesn't make sense to me. How are you going to have less man hours and expect the same amount of work to get done? I don't think that's the Spirit of God fueling all that whole movement. Amen? Think about this, church. I think most times when we feel busy or we feel stressed out or we feel, sometimes anybody ever feel inadequate, right? You're going to open your Bible and you feel like you've not been living quite right. Come on, church, right? And we tend to put that on like it's us, right? Oh, I'm this and I'm this. But my beloved, what if we started thinking that maybe that entire, all that, those feelings, those thoughts are a tactic of the enemy to keep us in a place of weakness, a place of confusion, a place of, oh, I don't know what's going on. Look, we may never know exactly what's going on as far as what are they doing behind closed doors in Washington, D.C. and all those other places, but you know what we can know? What God is doing about it. That's what we can know. Can I get amen? And you know what? If we start seeing what God sees and we start listening to the voice of God, you know what I say? Do whatever you want behind closed doors. I might not see what you're doing, but I know who does see what you're doing. Amen. There's someone who does see it, and he sees even the darkness is light to him. Is this all right, Richard? See, if we choose, now we're going to get into Habakkuk 1 here for a few minutes. If we choose, my beloved, everybody say choose. If we choose to look at the world through the eyes of men, we will lose hope quickly. You know what? Our hope is going to be like a yo-yo, man. When the guy that we like gets in there, yeah, praise God. Promise every 4 years there's a new one in there, everybody. So if you want to feel good about yourself for 4 years and then the next one comes in, oh my gosh, what happened? Dude, I'm so tired of trying to look at what people are doing and making me feel good about it. Yeah? I want to trust the one who says, I'm going to fix everything that's ever been broken. I will make everything right. Right? He doesn't say when. That's why we get frustrated. Is that all right? Habakkuk 1, look at this. I read this last Sunday, but we're going to go slow. We're going to break this down a little bit. The oracle which Habakkuk the prophet saw. Here's his complaint. How long, O Lord, will I call for help and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore, church, look at this verse. Therefore, the law is ignored and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore justice comes out perverted. Like I said last Sunday, I'm pretty sure Habakkuk saw 2022 in the United States of America. That's what he's looking at right now, right? Yikes. You know what you're going to find? This is going to be one of my phrases for the next couple of weeks. People are people, and God is still God. You read through your Bible, you know what you're going to see, particularly in the Old Testament? Cycles. You can read another, especially minor prophets, and you're going to be like, man, this guy sounds like just like Habakkuk. Yeah, because they're going through the same thing, right? Because people are people. We do the same stupid thing over and over again. Anybody ever done something stupid more than once? Other than me and Mike. Mike's just like, yeah, it's fine. Sorry. Right? Come on, church. And then you kick yourself. You're like, man, that was stupid. And the Lord's like, I know. I've been talking to you about that. Trying to get you over here. Right? We should not be shocked at what's going on in our culture. As horrific as the school shooting in Texas was, I'm just being real with y'all. I put a video up. I felt numb. I can't even think about that being my kid, right? I don't even know how to wrap my head around that. I was mad. Then I'm just numb. I'm numb. I don't know. It's such a weird feeling because I'm like, you know, again, we have such corruption in our country of people trying to power grab and using the most disgusting, evil, vile, awful things to do it. Oh, I got the answer. No, you don't. Because I know what the answer is, and it ain't a new law, or it ain't stripping us of our rights. You can't legislate morality. Look, if God can't do it, He did. We have 4,000 years of history in the Old Testament of God trying to legislate morality, right? Make people moral from the outside in. If God Himself can't do it, nobody in Washington can. Come on, church. The only solution is to stop attacking the church. Give the church some power back like we just read out of Micah, right? When the law starts coming out of Zion, when the law starts coming out of the house of God, when the church starts rising up and starts influencing the nation again, the nation will turn around. Like, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My parents weren't Christians. We didn't go to church. But there was a base level of morality in the culture. And what we see now, my beloved, is that it's not just like, look, I don't care how righteous a culture is. If evil people want to do evil things, they're going to get it done. Can I get an amen? What we're seeing in our culture for the last 30 years is the leadership embracing evil and saying that it's good. Which obviously we know that's in the Bible. It's actually in Isaiah. I thought that was New Testament. It's in Isaiah. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who call light darkness and darkness light. Right? But this next few weeks, church, I want to talk about, because look, you hear me, I'm fired up about it. I get angry. I get upset about it. But getting angry and upset about it will fix nothing. We got millions of Americans angry and upset about it right now. You know what's going to happen? They're all going to settle down, and our next election is going to come, and some people are going to clap their hands, so they're going to be upset about it. You stole it, rah, 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 on and on and on. And then you know what's going to happen? Something awful is going to happen. We're all going to be mad about it again. Oh, we need more policies and more. Oh, my goodness gracious. No, we do not. We need revival. We need the church to rise up, Christians to rise up. Our prayer meeting Wednesday night, Lord, our prayer was just this, Lord, get the wicked people out of government and get some righteous people in there. Amen. Get some righteous folks in there. They're just going to call it like it is. Amen? Amen? Let's get back in the Bible here. I stopped getting in trouble. Habakkuk 1, he starts off with this phrase, the oracle. Everybody say oracle. Oracle, which he saw. And the word just caught my eye. You know what the word oracle means in Hebrew? It means a burden. I was shocked. It means a burden. Habakkuk saw a burden. And the burden he saw was the nation of Israel spiraling out of control. How long will I cry and you don't hear me? How long do I have to pray about this? How long do I have to wait? How long do I have to watch violence and wickedness and destruction, corruption, strife and stealing? How long do I have to listen to lies from those who are supposed to be serving us and leading us? How long is his question to God? Come on, just raise your hand. How many of you are praying about something and nothing's happened yet? And in your heart, you're going, how long? My beloved, God exists outside of time. You can wrap your head around that one. Years ago, I was complaining to God, pretty much like Habakkuk is right here. I don't remember what I was complaining about, but I was complaining about something. And the Lord spoke to me clearly as I'm talking to you, and he said, son, I told you that I will work all things together for good for those who love God and are called according to my purpose. I did not tell you when I would do that. And he says, how do you know if something bad happens to you? How do you not know that I'm not going to fix that in your grandchildren? See, we Americans, we like the American, do you realize, my beloved, that there are foreign nations sending missionaries into America now? God's like, man, this place is a disaster. We were the ones sending the missionaries out for years, right? They're coming back saying, man, y'all are jacked up. We need to come fix you. We got missionaries coming in from Africa left and right. They're coming from all over the place saying, man, the church in America needs some help. Yeah, we've become so arrogant, all about money and building big fancy buildings and all this stuff. Man, praise God, fine. But as long as you're on point with your message. Damn. Is this all right? People don't change, and neither does God. Look at verse 4. I know we hit this just a moment ago, but I want to just break it down a little bit, and then we'll look at God's answer, and we're done for the day. Therefore, Habakkuk says, therefore, this is again, he's still complaining to God here. Therefore, the law is ignored, and justice is never upheld. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore justice comes out perverted. The Hebrew word there just means twisted. Anybody think about what's going on in our culture right now? Anybody think it's a little bit perverted? And again, if I think for me, I'm just talking about me. For me, like, people are going to do certain things. Can I get amen, right? Like, some people are just, there's something, not everything's working right upstairs, if you know what I mean. Myself included sometimes. But when people do things that you just scratch your head at and you go, wow, I just can't, I don't know, I don't get it, right? Like whether it's something as horrific as Uvalde or various things, right? You see what I'm saying? But when the culture begins to embrace it and suggest that it's normal, they're like, okay. Pretty sure that's not normal. Whatever that is, what I'm trying to be vague and general, trying to generalize it here so I don't get in trouble too much. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? So I need to dig deeper, or is everybody all right? When we take justice, which we know is what God says is right and wrong, and we twist it, and then suggest that what the twisted version of it, now this is what's right. Let me be a little bit more general about it. See, what we tend to do, my beloved, is we look at what we would consider sinful, right? Oh my gosh, I can't believe so-and-so does that. Right? That's so perverted. It's twisted, right? Twisted. But I remember years back, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, son, in the church, he says, look, you are doing things that you think are the right thing to do and then want me to bless it. Yikes. Are we sinning? Maybe not. But we're taking things that God has clearly told us how to do certain things, and we're saying, yeah, I don't know if we should do it that way. Let's do it this way. We're taking the word of God and we're twisting it. And the easiest way to twist something and still think it's good is that it still is kind of good in a way. Am I making sense? See, there are people, I'm just going to say something right here. I'm just going to read this section. We got to there are pockets of the church that are still understand this, but most of the church in America has turned away from this. As a culture or a society, there will be individuals within it that within that given culture that will do wrong things, no matter what, right? No matter how righteous a culture can be, truly righteous before God, there will be people in it that will sin and will violate the Lord. Is that right? Because people are people, right? And, my beloved, there are people who are literally controlled by Satan. Now, you go to other countries, go to Africa, they have no problem talking about this stuff. Go to China, they got no problem talking about it. Go to India, they got no problem talking about this stuff. Coming to America, we go, oh, Pastor, let's not talk about that Satan stuff. Yikes. Well, now we have satanic things that are no longer hiding. Because we have winked at it for decades. And winking at it and just hoping it goes away and hoping if we build a big enough church somewhere, you know, with enough people coming, the devil will be scared of that. The devil ain't scared of how big your church is. He's like, man, build away. He's scared of how powerful a church is. He's scared of how healthy, if there's healthy believers, that's who he's scared of. He ain't scared of lots of believers. He's scared of healthy ones. Pretty sure my Bible says if one healthy believer could put 1,000 demons to flight. And two can put 10,000 to flight. He ain't afraid of a believer. He's afraid of one who knows that he can put 1,000 to flight. Is that right? See, there are people, my beloved, who are not just deceived and are unwillingly walking in darkness. Right? There are people who have actively made an agreement with the kingdom of darkness and actively participate in things of wickedness. Regardless of what the gender moral standards are in a particular culture, that is going to happen. Can I get amen? As I said a moment ago, I'm being careful. I want to make sure we all are tracking with this, right? But when the culture as a whole and those in positions of authority in that culture embrace and approve of things that at one time were considered wicked and evil, this is what Habakkuk is talking about. Do you see that? As I said, starting the sermon, it is so easy to get overwhelmed by what seems to be spiraling out of control. Is that all right? Yes. But God is saying, you need to stop doing that. And here's how to do it, right? Let's get back in your guard post. Climb your watchtower. And wait and see what God will speak to you. Because here's what God answers Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 5. Look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I'm doing something. Church, say this with me. In your days. People don't change, and neither does God. If God was doing something in Habakkuk's day, he's still doing something in our day. He's still doing something in our day. You would not believe it if I told you. Anybody, raise your hand. Anybody ever God tell you something that just totally rocked your world? For sure. How about like when you start getting a little puffed up and you get a little cocky in attitude with the Lord and then he speaks to you and puts you back in your place a little bit? Like, oh Lord, you said blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, and I also said this, so sit down, Junior. I love those prayers. Oh Lord, you said! As if he doesn't know what he said. Amen. For behold, this is what the Lord is doing. Look at this church. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans. Chaldeans, church is Babylon. Abraham was from Ur of the Chaldeans. Chaldea is Babylon, all right? It's a metaphor for the world. Can I get amen? Babylon is never a good thing. But look what the Lord says. I am raising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people. Impetuous means in a hurry, right? Who march throughout the earth. Is he talking about a physical nation of Babylon here, church? Is he talking about the physical nation of Chaldea? Or is he talking about a spiritual power, a principality that the Lord's saying, I am going to raise this thing. I'm doing it. Right? We love, oh, pastor, the Bible says that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that's spoken against us we will condemn, because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Amen. Well, fine, cool, man. Back up one verse in Isaiah 54. Behold, I am the Lord, and I created the smith who blows on the coals, who formed a weapon against you. Behold, I created the destroyer to ruin. I did it. I don't know. I remember I told one guy one time years ago in our church, long time ago, we were chatting in my office one day, and I said, I don't know. My Bible, I'm pretty clear in my Bible that God made stuff that was bad right when he made it. Man, this guy got so mad at me. I said, dude, Isaiah 54, he made something that he called the destroyer. That's what he made. That didn't start off as a flower planter, and then it didn't turn into a destroyer. God says, I made this evil being and it destroys. That's all that it does. But no weapon formed against you will prosper. Man, Pastor Al gave me this sermon years ago. I listened to this sermon for 6 months straight in my truck before I was working at the church here. Pastor, remember that? Michael Pitt's sermon? Man, it was the craziest sermon I ever heard in my life. And his whole opening dialogue was he talks about the fall in the garden and all this stuff. And he says, so many Christians have what I call a, oops, I didn't see that one come in theology. As if when Satan deceives Eve in the garden, God goes, oh no, I didn't see that one coming. And he makes some interesting points that I said, wow, okay, interesting. He says, you know, the Bible says that Satan... So we think about Satan and Lucifer. I'm just going to say something that maybe makes some of y'all mad. All right? I said this one time when I saw folks, they never came back to our church. Please come back next Sunday. Do you know that we teach, how many people think Lucifer, right? We heard the name Lucifer in the Bible, right? You know how many times Lucifer shows up in the Bible, the name Lucifer? Anyone want to guess at it?
Twice.
One time. Some translations might be twice. And We get set up, and Lucifer and Satan are the same being. Me reading the Bible, that's a stretch to me. That's a stretch to me. Lucifer actually shows up in like Kings or something like that. And it's actually talking about, it's Lucifer was an actual man. He was a king back in ancient Israel times. He was an actual man. Study it out. Go read it. That's the truth. Right, so Satan, my beloved, the thing is we think that Satan was made. We talk about Satan being the great worship leader in heaven. That's not in the Bible anywhere. It's not there. Amen. Telling you the truth right now, y'all. It's not in the Bible. So and here's the reason that this is important. Because what we think in our minds is that somehow Satan pulled a fast one on God in heaven and tricked him, and God was showed up and go, oh my gosh, what happened? A third of the angels got all jacked up. And God is like on cleanup or something. And Michael Pitts goes on to say, here's the mindset of so many Christians in America. Like God is just running around trying to fix all the stuff that Satan's doing. That is wrong. That is totally wrong. If you think that Satan can do one thing that God is surprised by, your theology is horrible. Can I get amen?
I'm leaving.
See ya. I'm not saying the whole Lucifer and Satan thing. I'm not saying that that's right. I'm just saying when I read it, it's a stretch to make those two people the same, those two beings the same. It's what I was saying in Scripture. All right, go read it. I forget where it is, but it's Old Testament. It goes on to talk about it. It describes this king of Tyre is who it is. It describes him as the bright morning sun and all these things. Okay, but you know what? That's what they called the Pharaoh in the story of Moses. Kings in the back in ancient days, kings were worshipped as gods. The Pharaoh, they thought the Pharaoh was a god, and they worshipped him. It's a stretch, church, I'm just telling you. I don't think it's worth splitting hairs about, worth getting mad about. I'm just saying, Satan, here's my point. I think God made Satan, Satan. The Bible says that Satan was a liar from the beginning. From the beginning. From the beginning of what? Well, my Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's a liar from the beginning. I don't know. It's the same Word. Can I get amen? To me, it gives far more glory to God that he can make a being that is deadly to us, but that he is in complete control over. He is. That's the point, girl. You're getting it. He is controlling. Let's keep reading here. If you guys didn't hear that, our dear sister brother said, I wish that he would start controlling him. The point is that God is controlling the devil. I am raising up the Chaldeans. Who's raising them up? They are dreaded. Look at this. Oh, sorry, bottom of verse 6. Who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. In other words, they're going to steal. What does the devil do? Oh, right. Steal, kill, and destroy. They are dreaded and feared. Here we have this word again now. We have it again here. Their justice and authority originate within themselves. Church, just look at the last 2 years, 3 years in Washington and the stuff that they say, and then literally a day later, the same people are saying something different than what they just said. Why? Because there is no bedrock of moral authority. There's no right and wrong. Whatever I think's going to get me where I want to go is what I'm going to say. Oh man, that didn't work. Now I'm going to say something else to get me where I think I want to go. The authority and justice originate within themselves. It's humanism. I am my own God. Verse 8, their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. Horses, my beloved, is in the scriptures are talking about, so really kind of talking about military. It's their authority, their power, right? See horses. We see there's four horsemen coming back in the book of Revelation. Jesus comes riding back on a horse in the book of Revelation. Amen. It's talking about power and authority, right? It's their might, right? They're a power. They're swifter than leopards. They're so much. They're so intimidating. They seem so strong. Amen. They fly like an eagle, swooping down to devour. Peter describes Satan as looking for someone to what, church? Devour, right? All of them come for violence. Their horde of faces moves forward. They collect captives like sand. They mock at. Ah. They mock at kings. And rulers are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every. Huh. What did I say was one of the words for rampart? Is a fortress. The place that Habakkuk retreats to get his heart right with God. The inaccessible place, the Hebrew word is translated as fortress. These wicked people, this wicked movement that God is raising up, laugh at fortresses, laugh at the things of God. They laugh at the authority of God. and heap rubble to capture it. Then they will sweep through like the wind and pass on. Everybody say, but. But they will be held guilty. But they will be held guilty. Do you see this, church? They will be held guilty, they whose strength is their God. Let's stand to our feet. I encourage y'all last Sunday, I don't know if any of you did it, but I want to encourage you again this Sunday. Read through Habakkuk. You can read through the whole book of Habakkuk in about 5 minutes. 3 chapters, that's it. We're going to keep digging in this next Sunday. But every single one of us, church, we can get so easily shaken by what's going on around us. We turn the news on. I don't care. Turn Fox on. My goodness gracious. They're jacked up too. Come on. They got their own spin. The news is always going to give you some kind of spin. All you can do is follow the money. Follow the money. Whoever's paying the bills is who they're accountable to and how they're going to pitch what they're telling us. The church, my beloved, us believers, followers of Christ, we need to hear from God. We need to be able to go wherever we're going. I don't work in an office anymore, praise God, but some of you work in corporate America. Some of you work various things. Wherever we're going, wherever God has put us for our sphere of influence, the grocery store, wherever we got, we've got to stop getting sucked in the, oh, did you see what? Oh, yeah, can you? We need to find a way to bring some hope into that conversation. To be the light. We sang about it all morning, man. Right? People, church, I'm telling you what, people out there are scared. They are shaken. They don't know what's going on. They don't know which way's up. It's our job to say, man, look, I hear you, man. I don't like it either. But you know what? I'm all right. And here's why I'm all right. My hope isn't built on what's going on down in D.C. My hope isn't built on the next election. My hope isn't built on gas prices. Praise God. Lord, bring some gas prices back down in Jesus' name. Church, we're going to the grocery store. Groceries up, 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 up. Every time you go, up, up. But you know, my Bible says, King David, I was young, and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. So let's pray. Come on, let's just raise our hands to the Lord right here, church. Let's pray. Again, I want to remind you, I just shared this recently, but years, long time ago, my beloved, the Lord gave me a vision of the River Valley of Connecticut, which our church is, that's why we're called River Valley Christian Center, because of the Connecticut River Valley, right? The Lord said to me, I'm pouring out my kingdom here. And he said, do not worry about the economy. Don't worry about the government. Don't worry about the things of men. My kingdom's coming. That was a long, I mean, gosh, this is like 17 years ago the Lord told me that. And every time I start getting upset, that's the stuff it brings back to me. I told you. Yep. I told you. So Lord, we look to you. It's so, God, it's so easy to get angry. So easy to get discouraged, hopeless, helpless, feeling like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? But God, you see everything. There's not a single thing anyone has ever done, Satan himself, that you do not see and allow to happen, God. And so, Lord, I'm asking that you'd help us this week, God, these next few weeks, to be like Habakkuk, 2, verse 1. I'm going to get back on my guard post. I'm going to get back to where I'm supposed to be. I'm going to station myself on the rampart, up in that inaccessible place, up in the watchtower. And I'm going to wait to see what you say to me, God. Because, Lord, you know exactly what's going on. You know exactly where the church is. You know exactly where the kingdom of darkness is. You know exactly what's going on around the world. Russia, Ukraine, China, Taiwan. Lord, you are not out of control, God. You know exactly what you're doing. Lord, we want some vision like you gave Habakkuk. I want to hear that, Lord, myself. If I told you, you wouldn't believe it. But we want to believe it, God. We want to hear what you're doing. We want to hear, God. We want to believe, Father. We want to be steadfast in you, Father. Steadfast, Lord, unmovable in what you have spoken, God. So, Lord, I thank you for anointing every one of us, Father. Lord, anoint every one of us, Lord, to not be sucked down and shaken by what's going on, but that we will stand strong, letting our light shine in the darkness around us, in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a good week. Habakkuk, read Habakkuk. There's your homework. Read Habakkuk. Amen. We'll be back in Habakkuk next Sunday, Facebook and YouTube. Blessings. Have an awesome week in Jesus' name. Amen.